title this morning is Peace I Give You. Peace I Give You. It's June 30th, 2013, the last day of June. Tomorrow, July 1st, it's a half of the year is gone. It's history. You can't go back to it. But you got six more months in this year, amen, to make a huge difference and impact for Christ. So this morning I want to talk about peace I give you, and I want to talk about the peace that goes beyond all understanding, and I want to share with you just a little bit in the time we're together about the peace of God. Because I've learned over time, and I'm still learning, and people laugh, but even when I'm going through a trial, I can still smile. See, the world or society defines peace is an absence of trouble or tranquility in circumstances. In other words, there's an absence of trouble there. So you must be at peace. And I don't know about you, if you read the newspaper or if you read or watch TV or you watch the Crisis News Network or Fox or ABC or CBN or NBC, the world is not at peace. We're in trouble. People are unemployed. Murders are going up. People are shooting themselves. People are killing their whole family and then often themselves because there's no peace in their life. But Jesus came to bring peace in the midst of all our troubles, all our trials. We can. It doesn't make sense in the natural, but I'm connected to something called the supernatural. I'm connected to His peace. And you got to understand something about His peace. His peace transforms you from the inside out, and while it's doing that, it strengthens you from within. So His peace is from inside out. So what happens with people, if you look at it, people are dealing with society and issues and problems, and they're having this, they're seeing everything on the outward at war. They're not at peace. But the only way that you can get in peace is you got to change something on in the inside, so that even when you're looking at something on the outside, amen, it's not going to affect you. When all this hostility, all this craziness, all this IRS, all this stuff that comes out, you know, I don't get all concerned about it. What do you think about it? I don't like it. I think someone should stand up for it. Someone should pay some penalties and some, you know, cost of their job or whatever that may be. But I'm not going to allow it to affect me. Because, see, there's real trouble. There's no tranquility in society anymore. There's battles going on. But I'm not going to allow those battles to affect me inwardly. Amen? I'm not going to get all stressed out and, oh, my God, what am I going to do? Jesus leaves us with peace. And His peace comes with something called focus. And what we need to do is focus on Him and not on the situations. What happens, many of us focus on what's going on, our trouble, and we begin to speak to that trouble, and that trouble becomes bigger than God. Then you don't have no peace over it. Amen? See, when our minds are filled with the thoughts of Jesus, we experience supernatural peace that supersedes any peace that's found in the world. We can have peace even in the midst of storms. Didn't Jesus say, "Peace, be still," and the storm stopped? He didn't say, "Hey, storm, stop." He said, "Peace, be still," and the storms stopped. So this morning, I'm just going to share, I only have 72 scriptures this morning, and I promise we'll be out by 4 o'clock. We wait that long for a doctor's visit, though, don't we? And then we pay him money as we wait in a waiting room for 3 hours, but we won't want to sit in a church service more than that pastor spoke for 35 minutes. Oh, my God, it's too long. So now when I go to the doctor's office, I always tell him, I know I'm going to probably be waiting a half hour, 40 minutes, so I just bring the word with me so I can, because I know I'm going to wait. But at church, and this seat's a little tough, and I sat in an aluminum chair for 3 hours at dedicated, but you know, my butt was a little sore, but I tell you, my brain got filled and my heart got filled and my life got filled. So we're looking at John 14 this morning. I'm going to look at the New Living Translation. John 14:26. John 14:26. New Living Translation. We're going to talk a little bit about this peace and how we tap into it and how we overcome all of our trials in life. Amen. John 14:26. It says, "But when the Father sends the Advocate as a representative, that is the Holy Spirit, He will teach you just the one or two things." Because He don't know everything, so He's going to just show you one thing. This is the Holy Spirit. He will teach you everything. So He didn't leave anything out. "And will remind you of everything that I told you." Let me stop there. He can't remind you of something that you haven't read. He's speaking to somebody who must be reading His Word daily so that He could remind you of something that He said. Because if I don't spend time reading the Word and doing what He told me to do in His Word, how can He remind me of something that I've never read? I'm just pointing that out. The people say, "Well, you know, I don't need that Jesus." Well, I know, because you don't know who He is. But once you got to know who He is, He'll remind you some more of who He is. But how can He remind you of something you don't know because you didn't spend any time in it in the first place? But then He said that, "I'll show you everything and I'll remind you of everything that I told you." He says, "I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind." Man, some people need that. "Peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give you, the world can't give you." He just said, "The peace I'm giving you." So you want the tranquility and you want everything is beautiful, skies are blue. But that isn't reality. But He says, "I'm going to give you this gift that the world can't give you. So don't be troubled or afraid. Remember what I told you. I'm going away. But I will come back to you again. If you really love me, if you really love me, you would be happy that I'm going to be with my Father who is greater than I am." He's going somewhere, but He's coming back. And He says, "Love me along the way. When I'm not around you, I'm going to leave you somebody. I've got somebody who's gonna sit right next to you the whole time. He's going to be there with you. He'll be leaning on you. And He had this love on you. And He shares some stuff with you." Well, He's called the Holy Spirit. He's with you all the time, everywhere you go. "And He'll remind you of things that I told you that you probably forgot, but I'll remind you of some things." My wife reminds me of things because my schedule's busy. And she'll remind me of things. "Oh, we know we got to do this. Or we got to." She reminds me of those things. I know she told me. Probably wasn't listening. I nodded my head. "Yeah, honey, didn't you know that I was buying that new car?" "Oh, what?" "I was just reminding you that the payment was due." You did what? Just kidding. The peace of God comes into your life when you keep your mind focused on Jesus. Let me help you with this. The peace of God comes in your life when you keep your mind focused on Jesus. Take a look at Isaiah 26:3. Isaiah 26:3. This is the Amplified Bible. When you keep your mind on Christ. I work a full-time job, and sometimes I'm working 14 hours a day, but I still keep my mind on Christ because I need Him all the time so that I make good decisions so I don't have to go back and do something over again. I'm not into repeating things. Amen? If you eat bad Mexican food, you don't like to repeat. Amen? I mean, you understand. I mean, get it this morning. Isaiah 26:3 says, "You will guard him and keep him perfect and constant peace, whose mind both is inclined and its character is stayed on you. Because he commits himself to you, leans on you, and hopes confidently in you. So trust in the Lord. Commit yourself to Him. Lean on Him. Hope confidently in Him forever. For the Lord God is an everlasting rock, the rock of ages. Lean on Him. Trust on Him. Sometimes my wife isn't there. I need to lean on somebody. I got to lean on Jesus. When we keep our minds focused on Him, we engage in peace. Here's the trick. You need to focus. You've got to take some of your own time that you wanted to go do something else and focus on Jesus for a moment. Get your mind set. Many times we try to talk ourselves out of worrying about something. But we can't do that. Because when you're focusing on the worry, you're still focusing on the worry instead of focusing on the Word. We need to pursue Jesus' peace that's found in the Word. If there's no Word in your life, there's really no Jesus in your life. If no Word's getting taught at the pulpit, but we're having great people come through because they're movie stars and celebrities. It's all good. But that celebrity ain't getting me to heaven if he ain't got no Word. His strength and peace are connected. Strength and peace are connected. When you get His peace, you stay strong. When you don't have His peace, you worry. You get stressed out. You become weaker. You become tired because you're not sleeping. You become weak and you don't become strong. So there's something about this connection about when you have His peace, you get His strength. Strength to move mountains. Why? Because when I got Jesus on my side and I see a mountain, if I can get into His Word and I can get His peace regarding that situation, I'm starting to get stronger about it. I know that when I face it, I can move that mountain. He gives us strength by giving us peace. And you don't believe me, take a look at Psalms 29:11. It's okay, I read just a couple of scriptures. I only have a couple more. A couple more dozen, that is, praise God. Psalm 29:11. It says, the Lord will give strength to His people. I don't know about you. I was one of His people. And the Lord will bless His people with peace. So in Psalms 29:11, the Lord will give me strength and He'll bless His people with peace. There's something about, there's a connection there. If I can get into His peace, if I can immerse myself in the Word, I can feel, I don't worry about what the world's doing around me. I'm focused on His peace. And in His peace, I get strength. I can rise above. Right now, I'm down and out. But when I get in His Word, I can start getting myself up. You ever see those big-time wrestlers matches? Hulk Hogan was my favorite. Amen. And he would be laying on that ground, right? And he got beat up and figure four leg lock. And the guy come across with a big leg on him. And he's going to hold him down. And then they go, 1, 2. And they go get the hand, 3. And they see his hand go up. And he goes, and then the crowd starts to roar, and he gets up and he bounces out the ring and then smashes the guy down and he pins him and wins the match. He got that strength from within. Crazy illustration, but think about that. When the crowd start to cheer, when Jesus begins to cheer for you, when God's in your corner and He starts to go, come on, son, come on, you can get up, you can do this, I know you can, I've given you my peace, I've given you my strength, I've given you my hope, I've given you my favor, and then all of a sudden, you're down out, but all of a sudden, you get up, and the crowd goes wild. That's God and the angels on your side going wild, saying, you can do it. But you got to dwell in the secret place of the Most High. During hard times, you can hide in His presence. It's okay to hang out and hide out with God for a little bit. It's okay to go in your room and turn off the lights and just say, Lord, I need Your help, and pray. I like a dark room where the blinds are closed and the TV's off. My wife likes the blinds open so she can see the moonlight shine in my eyes because my bed, I'm facing that and the TV on, nice and loud. Praise God. TV we got, it must have super HD because it lights up the room. I mean, I get calls from Alexa. It's so bright in my room. Jesus is here, I'm telling you. So can I just have it dark? Really, can I just have it dark? But we're opposites, you know? I'm up at 4:30 in the morning. She's up at about 5:30 or 6. But I need that 3 hours of sleep, 4 hours of sleep I'm getting. I don't need a Lexer light sitting on me all night long. We're still working that out after 20 years of marriage. We celebrated 20 years this week. On the 26th. She would have been out of prison for killing me, and she deserved it, Terry. But she had the peace of God in her life. Hallelujah. Yeah, she is his presence. Amen. And so did I. Praise God. World's peace. God's peace. You know there's a difference? The world defines peace as harmony and tranquility. And when things are good on the outside, we got to be having peace. Everything must be great because there's nothing going on. There's no wars. There's no murders. There's not. And so the world says, hey, man, that's peace. And from a natural standpoint, it's really impossible to have peace while you're in the middle of trouble. When the lawyer calls and says, hey, or a doctor calls and says, you have a medical report that's not very good. It's hard to be in peace. Lawyer calls and said, hey, man, your kid ain't getting off of that crime. Boy, I'm trying everything I can, but, you know. But supernaturally, we can be filled with peace despite what we're going through because we can have Jesus' peace. And with Jesus' peace, it transforms us from the inside out. See, there's the difference. That boy that shot up the movie theater, if he only had the peace of God and not listened to the other voice, he wouldn't have shot all those people. The kid that went into schools and shot all those young little kids, and I believe they're all in heaven, but he didn't have the peace of God. He was warring with things. He seen too much. He might have been abused. He might have been fondled as a young kid. He might have went through some stuff. Because the world has been warring for years and years and years. There hasn't been real peace. People think we're going to have peace if we just quiet certain groups, or if we, you know, if we shut up those Christians, we'll have a better world. If we just take that Jesus out of the classroom and out of the courtrooms, and we take Jesus out of certain things in arenas, that, and then everything will be better. It's funny. Shootings go on in the schools, in the courtrooms, everywhere they took Jesus out, there's no peace. When you take out the advocate out of the situation, peace don't dwell no more. So you say, Pastor, how do I keep my mind focused on the things of Jesus? How do I get this peace? Because the world is chaotic. Everything's being exposed. They didn't tell us the whole truth about Benghazi. They didn't tell us the whole truth about the IRS. They haven't told the whole truth about this or this or this or this or this. It doesn't matter who's in president. I blame them all. What they need is Jesus. They need to start every one of those meetings by praising and worshiping God for about an hour and get every one of those foul spirits out of there. That will clear their heads, so then they can make right decisions and good choices based upon the Word of God, and then we don't have the bickering of, well, you're a Democrat, you're a Republican, you're independent, I don't care. I'm a follower of Jesus. Eliminates a whole bunch of stuff when you're all on the same page. Well, that guy needs special rights because, you know, he walks with a limp. No, he don't. Well, you know, we need these special rights for this special interest. No, we're going to pray that God just touch them. Pastor, how do I get my mind around? Every morning when you wake up, you should wake up praising God. Reserve some time to talk to Him. Get some alone time with God. The first thing that you should do when you get up is not turn on CNN or Fox, or because it's only going to upset you. First thing I do when I wake up in the morning, after I pet my cat because he just loves me in the morning, I look in the mirror and say, thank you, Jesus. thank you, Lord, that I've got another chance. You've given me another breath of lung in my lungs so I can do something for you today. I don't go to the newspaper and start reading it because it's agitating. I get into the Word and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? Lord, thank you. I begin to pray. I begin to praise Him. I get in my car. I don't turn on the news. I get some praise music on as I'm traveling to go get my Starbucks on my way to work. I praise Him. Or I listen to the Word of God by some great pastor that's dead, but he's on the radio, man. His Word is just as relevant as it was 50 years ago as it is today. And I sit there and go, wow, that's like happening today. And the guy, been dead for 50 years. God's Word is alive. He sends all time. We should begin to acknowledge Him more. We should commit our ways to Him more. We should trust in Him in all that we do. We should trust Jesus. I can't trust a banker. Amen. I can't trust the IRS. I can't trust the world's systems. I got to trust in something. I better start trusting in Jesus. I know He's a sure bet. Amen. We should guard our minds by watching and exposing things in the morning. There's things that want to attack you in the morning. And by turning on the TV and all these type of things, it just agitates you. We don't have to fill ourselves with bad news when we awake in the morning. That'll wait. It'll still be there. Amen. Probably worse news is coming. We should reserve some time to read and study and meditate on His Word. We have a choice that we can either give attention to the Word or give attention to trouble. I don't know about you, but I'd rather give my attention to the Word so that I know how to handle the trouble. If I can get myself to the Word, when I see the trouble, I'll still have peace because I already have the Word from God before it gets there. Proverbs 4, verse 20. Proverbs 4, verse 20. It says, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ears to my sayings. Not CNN, Fox, ABC, NBC, Sirius Radio. He says, do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those that find them, and health to all their flesh. So if you spend time watching the junk, it will affect your life and your health. So don't turn it on. Turn on the Jesus channel. We should give ourselves, we should keep ourselves from entangling ourselves in everyone else's problems. You're going to like this one. Now God hit me smack in the head with this one. We should keep ourselves from entangling ourselves in everybody else's problems. We got to point them and tell them to cast their cares on Jesus, not on me. I ain't Jesus. I ain't Dr. Phil. I ain't Oprah Winfrey. You got a care? Go to Jesus. You got a problem? Don't bombard me with all your junk. I got enough junk that I'm dealing with. Don't affect my peace by all your stuff. If you want me to get in agreement with what you're going through, that's cool. But don't bombard me with it all. Go to Jesus with it. My wife and I, we don't call 25 friends and say, what do you think, what do you think, what do you think, what do you think? No, we go to Jesus. Well, who do you go? I call on Jesus. Who are you supposed to call on? Jesus. I got a problem. I don't call my wife a lot of times. I go, hey, Jesus, how do we want to handle this? Because He's going to help me get the answer. My wife will probably be confirmation, but He'll get me the answer. We cannot have success and be paralyzed by fear. Perfect love is Jesus' love. It casts out all fear once you get the revelation knowledge of it. Take a look at 1 John 4:18. I'll close with that. 1 John 4:18. Probably have five closings, but this is the first one. 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. In other words, don't fear because Jesus is here. Don't worry about how you're going to eat your bread because God will bring you manna somehow if you trust Him. Don't wrap yourself around the axle of life. God says, just have some peace about it. The guy at work this last week goes, sometimes you get angry, but you still always have peace about it. You always keep yourself, even when the 90 things are hitting you. I said, well, I prayed this morning. God only knew I'd have 90 things come my way. He already told me, hey, you're gonna have things come. You're gonna have to make some decisions. I'm gonna help you with those decisions. Why? Because I have an advocate. I got someone with me. I have the Holy Spirit that's gonna help me. They're gonna give me that gut check and say, ooh, don't go there, or hey, go this way. Amen. Because God loves you and He loves me. He wants you not to be in fear, because when you're in fear, you're not in faith. And if He can get you in fear, He gets you off getting into His peace. Didn't He say, a peace I give you? The peace of God comes into your life when you keep your mind focused on the Lord. You got to keep your mind focused on Him. He's the only one that matters. Sometimes during praise and worship, I sit here and I'm zoned out. I don't even know that you're here. It's just me and God. I'm getting my mind focused on Him. His strength and His peace are connected. If you get His peace, strength arises in you. Isn't that what the Bible said? During hard times, you can hide in the presence of the Lord. Sometimes there's some times where it's overwhelming. I just gotta close that door and get in the presence of the Lord and say, Lord, let me just rest my head on my Father. What do you want to do? How do you want to handle it? Sometimes I just sit there quietly and just let Him talk to me. Now I know what my mom meant. Silence is golden. Because sometimes silence is golden. Because God will give you the golden key to whatever He wants to do if you're listening, if you're just be still before Him. During hard times, we can find peace in the Lord. Trouble can't find you when you're with Jesus. It has to leave. It has to flee. Supernaturally, you can be filled with peace despite what's going on around you. You got to have the peace of Jesus. With Jesus, you're transformed from the inside out. Think about that. I asked that of God. I'm going to give you an illustration because I asked God about that. You're transforming me from the inside out to peace. I remember when I got the doctor's report about my pancreas. And they said, you'll probably die. You're a young man. You're in your 20s. You'll be dead before you're 30. No doctor had any answers. Got saved. But my mouth was confessing something different. Didn't have peace about it. I mean, I lost sleep over it. I was worried. I was in fear. I was concerned. I won't die before I'm 30. Oh, my God. Hey, that ain't good. That ain't good numbers for me. Then I got diagnosed one time with something they call cancer. Those are things that they give you a label on the outside. But all God's saying is, see, the things on the outside is the devil's using to try to detour you and distract you from what God has for you. So I went through the battle first with the pancreas, and after 12 years, like the woman with the issue of blood, after I'd spent everything I had and wore down my marriage and my finances and wore down my kids, I found how to get the peace of God, and then the healing took place. Because the devil is always warring, always wants to cause turmoil, always doesn't want you to have peace. So then I stepped into being a pastor, which I didn't want. I fought it. I said, no, a comedian, yes, but not a pastor, please. Let me just support the minister from behind the back doors. I'll give him whatever he needs. I'll wash his car. I'll cut his grass. I'm good. I don't want to be the front man for Jesus. I don't. Didn't want it. Then I got cancer in the lung. They said, well, you got this mass. They called it a mass. And the devil will say, I'm going to upset your peace. You know, I've already been through the one. Now, I'm just a little smarter than I was last time. It ain't going to take me 12 years to figure this one out. Didn't tell anybody. Didn't share it with my parents. Even my wife didn't know really what was going on until I told her, hey, I got this bad report, and It's a mass, and they call it cancer, and I got to take some tests. But I didn't let it affect my peace. I said, peace be still to that cancer. I said, Lord, you put me at the pulpit not for me to die in front of people. Either your word works or it doesn't. I believe it does. I'm going to calm the storm. I'm going to believe, and I'm going to get through this, and it's all going to be good. And I'm not going to have chemo. I'm not having radiation. I'm not having that. You're just going to have to take your hand. You're going to have to figure out how you do it miraculously, or however you want to do it. I don't know. I don't care. Just do it. Because I was figuring ways he could do it. You know, I was helping him. I said, Lord, you could do it like this. You could do it in front of the church, and all of a sudden I cough out this big ball of something, and the place will erupt, and the TV cameras will be here because Channel 5 is right across the street. I said, boy, look, I could have 5 million people at my church after that. I did it. I did it a different way. I did it right in the middle of my sleep. I had to wake up my wife because, you know, the blinds were still open and everything. And I said, hey, honey, TV was still playing, you know. Turn that thing off. You know. I get right back to that story. I woke up and said, hey, I can breathe again. I coughed and I could breathe in my lungs. And that next day I had a test. And they're going to run dye and see how big this mass was. And all they found was an incision. And they didn't have nothing open. And they couldn't figure it out. And they said, Jesus. So I told my wife, I think Jesus just touched me. I feel good. And she was, just go back to sleep, you know. I'm okay. So I said, I'll get the test. I got the test at 6 o'clock. I know God touched me. And I went and took the test and went and drank the dye and all that stuff. But I had the peace of God along the whole storm. The world is facing cancer. They're facing issues with the IRS. They're facing issues with men and women coming back that have a leg blown off, or, you know, they're hurting or they're injured. And people don't have peace. They're looking for an answer, but they can't find one in the world because the world system doesn't give them the answer. God says, it's only in me you'll find that peace. So really, when I looked at that, I said, Lord, what do you want? He says, I want you and I, us, to be the examples of God. People that when we're going through stuff, they know you're going through hell, but you still have peace. Why are they going through something, but they still got peace? Because, see, we learn to place our mind on the things of Christ and not on our situations and our circumstances. And those things that are coming around us. When we get up early and when we praise Him and we spend time with Him, we're focusing, we're putting our mindset on Him. When we acknowledge Him in all that we do, and when we use our gifts and our talents for the works of the Lord, guess what happens? Peace comes. You got to guard what you watch, what you listen to, and who you associate with. Not saying you can't hang with the sinner, just don't make sure that the sinner ain't got you under control. Let me go back to that first scripture we read this morning in John 14:26. It said this, but when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, He will teach you everything and remind you of everything I've told you. I'm leaving you with a gift. Love that. I like gifts. Peace of mind and heart. Because if you have peace, your heart's not beating so hard. You're not fear, you're not worried, not concerned. Your body adjusts to peace. What's peace? When you're sleeping, your heart rate's slower, everything's peaceful. Your body's not twitching. You're at peace. You're at rest. I'm leaving you a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift that the world cannot give. So you can't find it at Walmart. You can't find it by somebody who's selling something. A gift is a gift. It's a gift. It's a gift. I got $10 in my pocket. That's all I got left, praise God. And I can give that is a gift. She don't have to pay for it. She don't have to give it back. She don't owe me. It's a gift. It's yours. Do whatever you want to do with that gift. And Jesus is saying today, you could do whatever you want with that gift. You could be in peace, or you don't have to be in peace. But the only gift that I give you is a gift, and the world can't give you this gift of peace. You can have tranquility. You can have some wars die down, but you'll never have the peace that I'm going to give you. Someone may give you a piece of their mind. They may give you a piece of cake, but they can't give you the peace that God gives you. So don't be troubled or afraid. Remember what I told you, I'm going to go away, but I'm going to come back to you again. And if you really love me, you will be happy that I'm going to the Father who is greater than I. He's greater than I. I mean, Jesus is great and the Holy Spirit's great, but even God's even greater than I. Jesus is known as the Prince of Peace. So this morning, on my second closing, did good today. I want to open up the altars. We're going to sing that last song that we sang. And I just want to open up the altars for those who just want to clear their minds and just get the peace of God. I mean, I know we're worried about our teenagers. We're worried about our situations and our finances. And I tested my wife's peace in Christmas time when I bought my son a scooter. And she said, well, I don't know, you know, should he buy a scooter? You know, I said, I'm going to get him a scooter. And I said, well, he's got angels wrapped around him. You know, I said, I thoroughly trust God for my kids. If he can send our son to Afghanistan and go over there and fight the war on two tours and then go there several times and not come back with a scratch, I thank my God. I can have peace. We didn't cry over it. We didn't worry about it. We prayed to God that you just have a hedge of protection around. We had peace about it. Aren't you worried that your son's over there fighting that war? Aren't you saying that now he's out of the military and then he went over there to do this special stuff and you know that they attacked the embassy 3 days after he left? God's timing, once again, we had peace about it. We might not know what he's doing. We weren't privy to the information. We just know he wasn't there. He got back. He was safe. We have peace. I could wrap my axle around the axle. Oh my God, what could happen? Oh my God, this could happen too. Oh my God, I wonder if I haven't heard from him. And then you can spin out of control. Oh, what do we do with my grandkids? Oh, my grandkids don't listen. Oh, my daughter. Oh, my son. Peace. Peace like a river. Give my daughter keys to the car. Here's your new car, baby. I had to have peace about that situation. I mean, she drive fast. She's got that lead like I had in my foot. Whoa. Hang on, Dad. Don't worry, Dad. You only need brakes once a month. Huh? But what? I got peace. I'm not going to allow the things around the world, the cancer, the sickness, the disease, the things that's happening in the politics and all the things happening. I'm not going to allow these wars and these things to affect my peace. When I lay my head down at night, I'm going to sleep with great peace. Not going to worry about how this is going to get done, how that's going to get done, how many people are coming to church, or how many of this, or how many of that. And I don't worry about all that. I really don't. I lay my head to rest. And I'm good. I got peace all day, even when you're getting attacked. Why? Because I got my mind on him. And if I can get my mind on him, he'll take care of what I gotta face. So this morning, if you guys want to come up and get ready to sing, if you feel led that you want to come up, I will just lay hands on you. I just believe that, you know, the peace of God will just be upon you and God just wants to touch you. If you feel like you just want to sit in your chair, that's good. God will touch you right where you're at. But sometimes a point of contact is a good thing to have. So, you know, we're going to sing this song, and then we'll dismiss. Amen? Amen. I like this song, and it just let it soak into you about freedom and about healing and Because it is all yours. That's what the Bible says. The peace that I spoke about is all yours. Amen?